Okay. Well, we're gonna get you going now because, you know, I like you hijacking the show from time to time. So here we are. Welcome back to the Love Zone with Pineapples. What is up?
Well, it's calling it the Love Zone?
Yeah, it's called the Love Zone Chronicles today. You know, I go all random all over the place. You know, because when I get on the horn with you, it's all about love and relationships and the ups and downs. And we're just trying to get you to
know. Mm-hmm. That's what we talk about normally, though. Like that plus maybe a little bit of other stuff.
But no, I know. Well, I go all over the place, you know, with my podcast. I know you are, you know, you're the expert.
Pretty consistent.
Exactly. So what's up, man? What's how you been? How you feeling these days?
Every day is a new day. So every day is a journey. I mean, that's all I can say. I have good days and bad days.
Yeah. I know, but it sounds like you're kind of, you know, some dark days are behind you, and now you're on to new experiences. So, you know, I kind of left it open here and leaving it like random to whatever it is you wanted to talk about, because it doesn't take much to, you know, get you going, and not in a bad way. I'm just saying that, you know, we always talk about things, and we always have elongated discussions. So I wanted to just get some thoughts about what's been on your mind.
Well, I know we talked about separating the segments today. So you said the first thing was what? It was three topics.
Well, I think the first one I'm just going to go into probably be your current dating updates. What's been going on in that world since we left off? And what's been, you know, what's the current adventures with that? So I wanted to get an idea.
So today, as of this recording today.
Okay.
There are no clues. Well, there's only one. And I won't identify him yet.
Sure. No problem.
So, the thing is, in between the last time we talked and now, there have been several. And there's been some changes. And then there's been some revelations, and there's people you haven't even heard of, okay? Not only did Stealth move here, but Stealth ended up being completely annoying, and then we renamed him MLM, so multi-level marketing, because that's all he fucking talked about. And then there is Eyes, and Eyes only lasted for 3 weeks, and that was a whole saga. And then the Uber driver died on my... was really rude to me one day, and I'm just like, whoop, bye. And then, who else? Blue's hanging in there, but it's just not, I don't want to.
Yeah, we already did been there and done that.
Let's
so
just update on that real quick. Since the podcast, we had an hour and a half conversation in which he did fess up to certain things, and he apologized for other things. And that's really the closure that I was looking for, I think. Yeah. And now it's just not the same. We're in contact. I'm not mean. He's not mean. We've collaborated at least 2-3 times on some projects. But I really respect the distance. I want the distance. I don't feel the same way about any of it. I just feel like that was a thing. That's going to have to be a chapter in my book. I'll write about it, a podcast, if I have to. But whatever. We're moving on to greener pastures for real.
Okay. What's been I'm interested in kind of switching things around with you, but I'm hearing about some revelations you had. So can you touch on some of those things that you've had as far as revelations about during these adventures that you've had?
The revelations you're going to hear about, I haven't even processed yet. They're like happened in the last like maybe 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
Really, it boils down to if you're waiting on the right person to show up, when you identify the wrong people, you should just let them go. Like, there's no need in hanging on to them for entertainment or for boredom or for sexual pleasures and all that stuff. This is very selfish. People are going through their own journeys and walks, and it's like if you identify somebody as not right, then there's no point in entertaining them any further.
I agree.
Cut bait and you keep it pushing.
Yes. I agree completely. I think that's one thing that I've realized as well, during my journey and just dating and so forth, that I am filtering out a lot of the people that come in my path. I'm even cutting off people that are coming back from ghosting me and trying to reappear. Like, I'm not entertaining anybody that I don't feel I'm going to have a good, positive, healthy relationship with. Whether it's on a dating level, whether it's on a friendship level, because I'm good with keeping girls as friends, and being able to dialogue and not go there with any of them. I have no problem with it. But when they're trying to look for dating and they're trying to keep me on the side, like a plan, and they're kind of testing all their other options, then once I realize that, then I just cut bait. I say, all right, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do a parting shot. I'm not going to do a pineapples, put people on blast. I'm going to go ahead and just take the high road. And I did a podcast on that I talk about just taking the high road now. And I'm going to be zenful about it because that vindictive nature comes out. And it's something that I want to get back
Oh,
at them.
yeah.
Yeah, it's ugly. It's something that you have to, when you realize what the person's doing. Like, I'm going to take the high road and not let that energy fester in me because the initial reaction is to put them in their place and put them away with an exclamation point. And I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm just going to gently block you, delete you. You're out of my life. Thank you. So I do agree with you on that I think when we are
You know what?
dating.
That's crazy that you said that. That's the same thing I did with I. Like, I have all the ability, capability, and resources to completely fuck this dude over based on the fact that he was disrespectful when he made his departure out of my life. And I was like, why do people do that? Because if I respond to you like society says I should, like I want to, like I ought to, you will be running around here completely devastated and hurt. Like, why did she come for me? Why did she ruin my life? But you are so damn disrespectful. Like, how are you going to be disrespectful to somebody who actually has power and shit? Like, you can just tell people, I don't want to deal with you on that level anymore, or I just need some space. But to be disrespectful, like, this dude has been in my house. He has been in my house. He has been in my house when I'm not even here at my house, watching my cats, hanging out with me and the crew and the tribe of Judah. We done got this dude drunk. We done got this dude weed. And I'm just like, why? How can you be mean to us? We have done nothing but
Right.
welcome you into our little group and been nice to you and your kids and incorporated them into all of our plans. Like, hey, when we're kicking it, your kids are welcome. We do kids stuff, kid-friendly stuff all the time. Let's do it. We
Yeah.
even took all the kids to the waterfall for my birthday. We took all the kids, his kids, our kids, other people's kids. We're like, let's do it. And we're out there swimming with them, and we're out there and, life's best, and we're all with each other, and we're all having a great time. And this dude has the nerve to go fucking ham like 4 or 5 days later. And I was like, what? Everybody around here was like, wait, what?
Goodness. So he was just
But I
trying
just,
to,
you know what I said?
yeah.
Cut. I said, cut bait, let him go. I said, because the karma will follow him, whatever shit he's on. It wasn't right for this, what I got going on. And good thing you made your departure faster than not, before we all became more attached or we got back with kids or whatever. Like, bye, have a nice life. We prayed for you. Good luck with everything that you got going on. And
Absolutely. That's a way.
deuces. Like, no, I
Yeah.
mean, it's hard feelings. You have hard feelings. But it's like, should I entertain those feelings? Probably not, because I got other positive shit like really going on over here. So why do I sit here and deal with that? You already lost out in the relationship that could have benefited you. So that is your loss, and really, it's not my loss. Like, you saved us aggravation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that part of it is based on the premise that we have expectations of people. Like, we really do. Like, we have expectations of common courtesy, of respect for one another. And when we have that expectations, which is subconscious to us, even though it's not labeled in expectations, like I could tell someone and they'll be like, no, that's not expectations, because that's kind of like self-explanatory. That should not be an expectation. But in reality, it is. And that's the part that I had to come to grips with. Like, I had to come to the realization that, you know what? Like, I have these expectations for people that they'll practice common courtesy, that they're going to be respectful to me and my time and my energy, that they're going to do things in a graceful manner, communicate with me in an adult manner. And that's not the case. And you can't expect that. So once I started changing my mindset about, with all these people ghosting me and then coming back and just being disrespectful about the whole concept, you know, like they just disappear. And then 6 months later, a year later, they come back and they say, hi, how you doing? Like nothing happened. You know, me expecting them to explain themselves or to just have some kind of common courtesy to apologize, to say, sorry, I've disappeared. And, you know, I kind of went on to bigger and better things and didn't work out. Nothing like that. So what I've realized is that, you know, the moment people don't exude that common courtesy or those things that you would want someone to exude that cares about you just as much as you do, cut them off. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to let you have me expand or extend any negative energy, even though it feels good, even though it feels amazing when I stick it back to you, because that's my nature, because you don't really get, even though you know you're being kind of like teaching them a lesson, they don't even know you're teaching them a lesson. Like they're just looking at it like, okay, why is this person being this way with me? You know, they're totally unaware of their ways. And that's what I've realized. I realized that a lot of them, it's like they're sneaky dickens. They're real shady. And then they just try to act like nothing happens. And then when you try to come at them twice as hard, then they act like the victim. And so it's like, what good is it doing me by exuding negative energy towards that person that it's not going to be in my life? You know, it's like, just keep it moving. Cut bait. Fuck that. You know,
and I don't even come for people like, oh, I imagine, but it is not very ladylike. It's not good for karma and Jesus don't like it. And you just really shouldn't be that person. And that's part of, like, not, you know, denying yourself. Like, you know that for me, this is how I feel about it. I know the resources that are available to me and within me can allow for me to do great damage to people, as well as great privilege and blessings to people. So it's like, which one are you going to use your power to do? It's just better to be on the positive side. Because when you hit the negative side, there's always these repercussions too later on for you down the road. And it's not even, like, worth it. These people will mess around and get their comeuppance. They always do.
Gosh, it feels so...
put it back in the universe and be like, universe, you got it. It's yeah. Your child anyway.
Goodness, man. It feels...
they'll get it back.
It feels so fucking good, though, when you do it. But, you know, so you have to hold that button back because, like, for a guy like me that has that vindictive streak in me, to feel good about doing that. And, you know, I talked about this
before.
But it
feels even better when you don't do nothing and then life just does it. Actually, it feels better. You should try that part.
Well, I'm trying it.
I was just telling somebody the other day, mm-hmm. I was like, do y'all remember the lesson behind Monsters, Inc.? Like their whole city ran on fear when they didn't know that laughter was stronger than fear. And it's like, okay, the lesson behind that, because I love cartoons, lesson behind that is, the positive is always going to be more, 3, 4, 5 times stronger than the negative, even though the negative is very powerful. But we never try the other side because it's more fulfilling to do it this way. It feels that way. You don't know that, like, there's people who really royally screwed me since I've been on the earth in 1983, and I have not touched them in any way, and I've watched their lives literally have devastating things, and I'm not even in their life. Somehow I just find out about it, and I'm like, damn. Watching the universe whip somebody's ass is way worse than anything you can ever do to somebody.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's really bad.
Well,
especially when they're getting their life lessons, and don't let them be, you know, children of God. He really likes the Catholic. Like, he'll teach you some lessons and you'll just be looking the other way, like, dang, I can't even watch you get this spanking because that hurts me.
Yeah, I mean, the universe has a funny way of...
Let the universe take care of these crazy-ass people. Just don't join them. Because it's easy to join them. I mean...
It is.
I was really hurt by what that guy did. I was like, what? And then you got kids involved. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I was just so thrown. But a part of me was like, wow. Like, for you to have done this, you're way worse than me. Like, damn, your life is going to be real hard. Like, I was like, ugh.
Right.
You know, that you just exposed, like, really what you are at the root, and that shit is scary.
Yeah,
and you've been exposing yourself here and there the whole time we've been talking, but I didn't know it was that bad. And now that I have, like, this other lens where I'm just like, let me see what's at the root of people. Do not get caught up in what they say, how they look, even how they treat you sometimes, what they text. Don't get caught up in none of that. Throw them in your life. Put them in real-life situations. Just see if they don't think this well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying fabricate shit. Just don't, like, live life naked, bare in front of them and see what they do with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary. Like, you are way worse than me because I'm free and you're, like, a mess. I'm a mess, too, but I'm also free. You're lost in a mess. Like, these kind of people have wagons that are broken on the side of the road, and you should just pull over long enough to be like, hey, you good? You need some water? You need some rations? All right, good luck to you, and you keep it pushing.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Well, that's a good view
like,
to have.
First of all, I'm not hitching my wagon to your broke-ass wagon.
Yeah.
Some of y'all are in denial about your wagons being broke. I repaired mine. I feel like you repaired yours. And we're just moving along the path. And along the path, you find people who will flag you down, like, hey, I need your assistance. But it's a mess. Wherever they are in that point in life, they're a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And then you just have to be like, identify it quickly and move on.
Right. You have to identify things. And I wanted to start back with the... You know, letting the universe handle things. And I have a pointer on that I agree with you totally as far as letting karma take care of business on those people that are bad to you. But I think what happens is, and you know, and this is, again, I'm on your side of the fence with this discussion because that's what I converted to.
Okay.
So, but what I'm saying is that the part of me, the reason why it was hard to let go and be vindictive was because it came back to the bully aspect. Like what happens is when you're nice to people, when you're giving, when you're selfless, then, and they run all over you, I have this instinct that kicks in that says, you know, I'm not going to let you bully me. I'm not going to let you punk me. I'm going to make sure that you going forward, you know, you can't be doing that to people because it's not right. And that's kind of where that nature comes from me because I've always despised bullies and people that think they're better than others. And that's something that I've always fought back against. So that was part of the nature of why I was the way I was. But then, I'm on your side of the fence. I'm like, look, life's too short. It's not a lot of energy there, you know, to get entrenched in that world. You know, it's like you're better off, like you said. And I like the shout out to Monsters, Inc. that, you know, your love conquers all. Love is a powerful thing. I agree with you. At the end of the day, being good to people is a better alternative, much better alternative than holding grudges and being evil, et cetera, et cetera. So I agree with you on that. And to add on to what you talked about with letting life, letting the situations reveal people's true motives and true characters. It goes back to what I've always said to you, right? That's one of the reasons why I'm single for a long time and I will continue to be single because I play that patient game. I let people, I wear people out to a breaking point where I have to see what you're all about. And you're doing it in a way, it's pretty slick because you're putting them in an environment to see how they react. You're putting them live in the trenches. You're not just dialoguing about it. You're saying, hey, come along, hop on, be in my world. Let's see how you handle it. And I think that's very refreshing and that's very good because I think you're able to expedite that mindset that I talked to you about, meaning that, you know, people don't show their true colors. You know, the show can only go on for so long before their true selves come out. And when you're putting them in these environments, when you're putting them around your friends, and you're putting them around the things that you do and the people you hang out with, and they're constantly involved in it, they're going to sink or swim. Because it's either, okay, I can't deal with this, or yes, I can. And it sounds like in your case of he said, I'm out. He said, dude, I can't handle this. The pressure got to him. Maybe he had other options. We'll never know. You know, that's something that I can't tell from the little bit you've told me. But whatever he saw, he wasn't on board with. Or he just has a different personality. But maybe he likes to be controlling. Maybe he doesn't like following the herd. Who knows? You know, but he played himself and exposed himself. And that's the element that you're seeing. I think you're seeing and agree with me that you got to put people in positions to expose themselves. Like, we have to. Like, we just can't take their face value. Like, yeah, I'll listen to you. Okay, what you're telling me is cool, but we're going to put it to the test. You know? Like, that's the part that I think me and you are finally on the same page about. But you're doing it in a very nice way, whereas expediting it, but yet it's still, I got a good pace. Like, you're not rushing anything. You're just saying, hey, come along, hang out, be a part of our family. And that's kudos to you, because that's something that I could take notes from you if I feel someone is a potential. The problem with me, though, is that I don't expose anybody to my daughter until, like, I have to make sure, if you're going to see my daughter, you are the one. Like, you are in serious level with me, because I don't want to expose my daughter to women left and right, because I know that will be the case. You know, I don't want people, like a girl that I'm with, and, you know, we hang out for 3 months and then she's not with me anymore, and then someone else comes in, because I've seen the dynamic of a partner have with the kid, and they have a strong connection and they get along, and then for some reason it doesn't work out with me and that significant other, and then my daughter gets hurt too, because, you know, she has this connection with this person, and obviously we're not going to be together in any way, shape, or form. So I don't want to create that dynamic at all. Like, if I have that possibility, that person has to go through the grinder with me one-on-one, and I'll let them know, like, you're not seeing my daughter at all. It's just me and you when my schedule allows, because I have to make sure that you are who you say you are. And then if you do, and if you pass, and I feel comfortable with you, then you can see my daughter. But that has not happened to this day. And I've been single now for 4 years. It hasn't happened.
Wow.
I don't let them break through. Yeah, you don't meet my daughter. And they want to talk about it. They want to push it. And I tell them, we're not going there. And I can't. I'm not going there. Because I have to make sure. I got to know who you are. I got to make sure, because I don't want you entrenched in my world and then 3 months later I find out, or a year later I find out, that you're a basket case, that you're needy, and then you have a problem with me spending my time with my daughter versus time with you. I don't want those dynamics to happen, and I have to cut bait, and then my daughter being 7 is going to be very impressionable to new people. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. And that's something that I've been very cognizant about in my dating excursions. And a lot of people do respect that, but you still have person once in a while that once the going gets good and the vibe, then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, I would love to meet your daughter or have them come over and hang out. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not doing it in a respectful way, but I tell them no, you know. So when it comes to the dating.
Well, I think how we get away with that here is, you know, is very different in terms of the culture of family. So everybody that's older than you is an auntie or uncle automatic. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if they're from church or work or a neighbor or a stranger or your girlfriend or your ex. Anybody that's, like, out of your age bracket is your auntie and your uncle. So a lot of times the kids don't even realize what role people play, because all adults are auntie and uncle. You listen to auntie and uncle, you say auntie and uncle, and everybody takes care of everybody's kids, kind of, sort of. So it's not, like, confusing for them. They don't know if people are dating. They don't know if, because there's a lot of homosexuality out here, too. So the kids don't really know. All they show is like mom, dad, auntie, uncle. That's the roles everybody plays.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, auntie, uncle. And sometimes auntie is a real bloodline auntie. Sometimes auntie is your mom's good friend. Sometimes auntie is your mom's girlfriend.
Yeah, right. I get it. I get it. Like,
not
this is
until
a big
they get
family.
way older do they
Right.
realize, like, oh, you know. So it's a little fluid where I see if I was on the mainland and it's traditional, I would never go this route ever. Plus, I don't have kids, and if I'm a biological kid, I'm anti-Hanai to kids. I don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. So when I bring kids around kids, it's more like, hey, here's some kids, meet some other kids. And the parents are cool. So now we don't have to be traveling alone with a pack of kids, you know? And so that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Then a lot of times the kids here, especially the mixed race ones, they be looking for the other one. The mother don't fit in. I'm mixed race and I'm from the mainland, but I look like the people here, but I ain't from here. Like these kids, especially the ones who are child on their own, like they're a single child, no siblings,
okay.
A lot of the kids be looking at from their own little pack. They be trying to find their own tribe too. Like, I need some kids that look like me. We have a lot of little black kids here who have a problem because they're not Polynesian. They're black.
Huh.
They get picked on. They have all kind of issues. So they go looking for the other black kids like them. That was pretty cool. I love watching the kids interact. They're so freaking amazing.
Yeah, kids are great, man.
But I do know that, you know, yeah, the dating thing and kids is that's another podcast topic. So
yeah,
I
it is. It is. I just try to be
and,
very mindful, and as a dad is very involved and very active, I'm very cognizant of that. And it goes back to my upbringing. You know, my mom left my dad, Amber Alert, it was called those days. You know, she left and a very abusive dynamic that she was dealing with my dad, and she feared for her life. So she took myself and my sister without him knowing, and we ended up going to the States and disappeared. And we just lived on welfare. We lived in the hood. We lived in, you know, we just lived a poor ghetto life. And I think during those years of us moving and not having anything and, you know, having all a bunch of people living in a one-bedroom apartment, you go through these challenges and you realize that this is not normal, obviously. And you, as you grow up and you're in that position now where you're a parent, you look back and say, you know what? I got to make sure that, you know, I don't repeat some of those things. But the one thing I will give kudos to my mom, and I think a lot of it had to do with the psychological damage from the marriage, was that she never dated anybody after she left my dad. And she left my dad when I was 9, and she never entertained anyone else ever. Guys try to talk to her. But she never dated. There was never a man in my house that came in and was dating my mom at all. And that's an impact that's left on me because, you know, my mom made a choice of not dating anyone and take care of her kids. So here we are, you know, cycle of life. And I have a daughter. I'm divorced. And while I don't mind finding the right companionship in person, but they're going to understand my setup, because it's all about me being a parent. And, you know, those things that I talk about, while it sounds very controlling and very high end, it's just creating the safety guards, you know, for people that are culpable to being more crazy and more erratic than they appear to be. And that's my mindset. You know, that's my mindset. I just don't trust. I don't know.
Am I more crazy and more erratic than I appear to be?
Only time will tell.
Anyways, how are we on time? We have to switch subjects. I will go on and on, you know. Like,
you know, we're at probably 25 minutes halfway through. What's up, girl? I mean, so let's. What did you want to jump
okay.
on?
So those are the dating updates, though. The dating updates are, it has been Mistletoe's Wild Adventure. And maybe, actually, not maybe, actually, I did talk about writing a book. Similar to like Sex in the City, just categorizing all the different chapters, and some of them overlap and some of them don't,
uh-huh.
And just giving my own commentary. And I'll probably just voice it out, and then my assistant will type it out, and we might actually just make a book. because it's really good stuff. But that'd be later. So where we are now is that between my therapist, I went to church, I had some interesting experiences. We have cut ties for the most part with everybody except one. And some of them just dropped off on their own. And then I just said, you know what? Absolutely. This is the right way to go. Let them all go and don't pick up no strings. Just let them go. Because really, they're all not right for me. And the person that's hanging in there, he has not given any red flags yet, or orange flags, or yellow ones. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, it's I think it's worth it. So it's something you take day to day. I mean, I know I always find myself repeating.
Day to day.
I mean, think about it. And I know people get tired.
Like you always told me, too, you always said that it was going to be somebody I already knew or was in a circle or that I had a friendship with. Like just a friend. It would just be a friendship that ends up not a friendship anymore.
But yes.
That's kind of what I ran into. So.
Yeah, I mean, how do I forecast these things when I don't know people from a hole in a wall, right? I mean, that's probably the part where you're like, how the hell does Minnow does that?
Don't go there. Do not go there.
Do you think I have, whatever, like, some magical, I mean, you, let's just put it this way. You at least see the power of Minnow and his objective thinking, right? I mean, you know that I come from a very rational place, so... I'm glad you kind of accept a little bit of my ways. I'm not saying you're all 100%, but you know sometimes I call it out.
No, I am not.
You know it.
You know we're like oil and water.
But when it comes to your realm of oil, I do know my product. I know my product very well, I think. I think I know my product very well. Again, the reason I'm single, I'm always going to keep saying these things, is not because I can't be, I can go and marry within 6 months. The problem lies is that I need to find out who the person is. That takes time. You know, it takes time getting to know someone. And that's a problem that many people in this dating world are not willing to do. Because why? Because they have other options coming at them. And why wait for a guy like me that's going slow? You know, I'm talking to somebody right now. Everything has been through email. And we've been talking for 3 weeks. Email. Everything. We haven't even met up. Just talk email. And, yes, she wanted to get together this weekend, but I had to work. And I had to my daughter's birthday weekend. And I had to relax. I had to clean the house. You know, I wasn't going to make time for her. I had to cook. So I wasn't going to make time for her. So I let her know. I was like, hey, I won't be able to make it. You know, that's kind of how I roll. I roll in the sense of dating is not a top priority for me. You know, like if I find someone that's magical, that's awesome. You know, I have friends that are girls that are amazing, you know, that I get along with and I have a great understanding with. And, you know, I started recently dating someone that was married. Not dating, but you know, it's like an open marriage type of deal. Started doing that, met her a few times, and that's worked out well. So, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic. That was my first time in all of that, but so far so good. We'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, my dynamic is such that
that'd be a podcast episode, right, on just your update.
Yeah, because you don't want to go there. But pretty much my adventure is I ran into this guy. He's in an open marriage and he says, hey, you know, he kind of negotiating with me the terms, and he's like, oh, this is my wife. You know, she wants to play. It's you guys, you know, and I just get away and you guys do what you got to do. But everything he coordinates, like, so the guy coordinates the event. So I have to go through him to reach out to his wife, and then the wife reaches out to him. So he's like the middleman in all of this. And we'll get together. So I'll be like, hey, you know, 6 o'clock on Friday works out for me. He'll be like, okay, I'll check with the missus. Check the missus. Saturday will work better if that's okay. I'm like, sure, Saturday. And then we'll go and he'll plan it out. He'll plan out the setting, whether I'm going to take her out a date. or if I'm going to just meet her at the house, you know, things like that. Very interesting. But
That is wow. Wow.
yeah. And you know,
So
they
that's
have
like its own
kids.
episode. I can't give my updates if you're going to be hitting us with like entire mind shifts of things. That's like
Yeah,
a lot.
right. And you know, they have kids, so they're in bed. We hang out, go downstairs, and we do our thing. And it's very
Oh
cordial.
gosh,
It's
I
very,
can't.
yeah. It's just a different world. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Get out of there. I give feedback to the guy. I'll be like, hey, dude, what's up? Yeah, it went great. Thanks for having me. He's like, yeah, we'll call you back. It's kind of like a rent a pimp, you know, renting me out. But that's the mindset I'm in right now. I'm just kind of doing the non-vanilla stuff, and so far it's worked out. But as far as conventional dating, I mean, that's just I already have talked about that ad
We're like
nauseum.
Team Vanilla all the way. Team
Oh, yeah, I'm with
spectrum
you.
of things that aren't on outliers.
Yeah, and you know the kid
But I guess we're not going to get, we're definitely not going to get into my LA update. There's no way because there's not enough time. Because that's a whole like thing.
We
I since
can.
they're leading us into alternative living, I
Okay.
guess we might as well discuss the sister wife situation going on.
Well, I mean, well, obviously, you know, we have so many different dynamics. I think that the social media world and being able to connect with people from different walks of lives have allowed us to understand that there's so many different tastes and different fetishes and things like that. And I mean, heck, I know you disagree with me on this. I talked to you about this before, and I've always felt that, I mean, there's gay fetishes as well, you know, that people, guys who smash all the guys with no problem, you know, and they don't think they're gay. And there's women out there that fuck with women and they don't think they're gay, you know, they just think they like guys. They just have the little fetish with the same sex, and they go about doing and their day. And I think that's something that you disagree with, because I think technically, if you get an arousal, you said, from both any gender, then you're bisexual, something along those lines.
No, I never said no stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I'm all
I said I was asexual, and I don't become attracted or attached unless there's an emotional connection.
yeah.
That means that gender doesn't play a part.
Got it. I
So
know.
that, so you're not gay or straight. You just don't operate on those lines at all. You just,
Yeah.
for most people, I just like people. It goes like this. I dislike people. I like people. I'm attracted to people, and I'm intimately, romantically attracted to people. That's the highest level. So far, since me being alive, there's been like eight people in that highest category. I do not like people very often. You have to be a very special person for me to even like you. And it's usually because of some other type of connection we have. So I have a lot of people around me that I love, that are gorgeous, that I care about their stories. And I do a lot of interesting things that probably to society looks gay, but it's not gay at all. I don't have sex with women. I barely have sex with men. I don't like anybody. Like, I just don't like people. And then when I do like somebody, I turn crazy. So, you know, that's how I work.
All right.
Because I don't like people enough. I don't like them often enough to
No.
be like dealing with my feelings. So when I do get in my romantic feelings, it's like another world. And it's like a world that I don't touch too often. So I'd be lost in space, like in love type stuff, like total Disney and
Yeah.
fantasy, Tinker Bells and unicorns and hearts.
Right. Well, the reason I
Really, it's just
dabbled.
like a flood.
The reason I dabbled in open relationships and open marriages was because I think that there's a lot more transparency in the communication, and I am just a person that is all about that. In a way, I'm very sensual and very sensitive as a man, believe it or not, you know, when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to communication. You know, I'm a man where I'm able to swing at you and be very alpha, but I think when it comes to the aspect of connecting and socializing, and I'm very feminine oriented in that realm. So, you know, learning about a lot of these things that you hear about sexualities and about just different views, it's just very, there's so much gray out there. There's just so much going on. And I think one of the articles that I found interesting that I read, I should say, a podcast, it was done and it talked about these guys. I guess they go like on websites like Craigslist. Yep, like Craigslist, I think it is. And they go in and solicit men, to give blowjobs to, and they're straight. But they just, when they have a need, they go on there, and they'll go ahead and get a blowjob. And I know we're being asked as to why do you feel that's okay? You know, you don't feel you're gay. And one of the guys was saying, I don't feel I'm gay at all. You know, this is something that I stumbled on. There's a lot of gay men closeted or, you know, out in the open that love to suck dick. They love to please a man. And I like getting my dick sucked. And, you know, I don't see myself marrying a man or being in a relationship with a man. It's just more of a service. There's no type of having a talk back and forth. It's just very easy and simple. So yeah, you know, I went ahead and tried it and continue to do it. But he was like, I'm straight.
You're saying you did?
No, that's what this guy in the article did. This guy in the article was saying.
Oh,
that.
I was like, wait, you're taking this conversation in a direction that I did not intend for it to go in. And on top of that, I have some interesting followers now. It's going to be like, oh, my God, including people from my mom's church.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry, everyone, because I was just saying that in general because that tidbit that I talked about, the gay sexuality and all that, it's just kind of encompassing the realm of sexuality within relationships, within people. You know, when you talk about my situation of open marriages and I'm interacting with people and all communicating aspects of it. Then you have polygamy, like you talked about earlier. And then you have people that are like in fetishes, you know, that are like straight dating, but then they have these fetishes of doing stuff with the same sex. So it's just like this world of so much variety and things like that, that it comes back to being able to filter people out and making sure that you can kind of cover all these bases. You know, and that takes time. And that's the part that's why I always stress the element of don't rush into anything, man, because we don't know what that person entails, what they're all about. You know, you don't want to be hit up with a secret. You know, I have a friend that just recently was in a relationship for over 10 years.
All of a sudden, I can't hear you.
Are you there? I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, can you hear me?
You just faded.
Oh, okay. I'm here. Now, I had a friend that...
You were really clear for this whole time, and then all of a sudden, now I can barely hear you.
Oh, my. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I think what happened was I had a friend that was in a marriage for a long time. And they were dealing with issues, you know, like issues from the husband going crazy and having these tantrums and just being all disconnected. And, you know, come to find out that a lot of these issues were created from, you know, postpartum. And a lot of these issues were not disclosed. And you know that firsthand, you dealing with, I've dealt with people dating in that world that come from the military. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is not disclosed and yet needs to be taken care of, you know. So it's just and I just mentioned that story because this wasn't something that was disclosed to her from the beginning. Like things like this, like soldiers and people that have these issues that are going to surface need to disclose them to their significant others. It's like with me, if I have a serious depression issue, at some point, I have to address it to someone that I care about and say, listen, before we go any further, I need to let you know this is what I'm dealing with. And in many cases, people are not doing that. You know, like they just kind of hold that.
Well, I know for me, I'm trying to be transparent, but I think that my gay boyfriend put it to me the best. He said, walk people through your crazy slowly.
Yes.
He always gives me good quotes. I love him. He gives me good quotes.
Right.
He says, walk them through your crazy slowly.
Yes.
You know what the hell you are, but you also have to give people time to grow affectionate towards the good part with slowly integrating, like, these are the pitfalls.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get. But it's all in moderation and over time. So, and that's why I think that's why I don't like people too often is because I have to have an emotional bond or some other kind of bond And I wasn't sexually active until I was like 22. So, and then it was only two people.
Yeah.
You know, so like think about it. Like I wasn't dabbling in bonding through sex at all. I was bonding other ways. And therefore, when I did make the connection, it's like, okay, now they can see the good. You can see the good, but it used to be I would just throw the crazies at them like a pot of spaghetti. Like, here you go. And that is not working. And that's why he was saying, walk them slowly because you know what you're about and you know it ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
But some people do latch on.
Let me
which
just
takes me into the whole thing with the sister wives. We have to get into that because they keep coming in the bathroom trying to talk and then we're in another room.
All right, let's get them in here.
All right, so I'll disclaimer stuff in the beginning so that you understand what we're dealing with. We have formed a little tribe out here that consists of women and their kids and some women who don't have kids. Now, we're playing around when we say sister wives because we really can't explain our friendship. The friendship formed out of necessity, out of survival, out of like-mindedness. And it's just blossoming in a rapid rate where people around us don't understand, like, what the hell is going on. As far as I know, nobody in the tribe is dating. Some of they're not dating each other, okay? This is not polygamy. They're not dating each other. No one's sharing a man. Some of the women are gay. Some of the women are bi. Some of the women identify as straight. These are identifications. There, some people are dating actively. At least one is married. I'm divorced. We got people who are just, there's about five of us, okay? So, here's the deal. We're playing, because there's so many men who think polygamy is so hot and so in, that we're just like, that's disgusting. But that's because we all agree we're not man-sharing. That's ridiculous. But we call each other sister wives because it's funny to us to say you're my sister wife, because these other stupid people think that we're on the tip of their own, and we're not. We literally are just friends that help each other and operate like a family. We operate more than friends, because everybody almost everybody has a child with a disability, a severe disability, and they cannot do it by themselves. That's the problem. I don't have any children, but I've got a severe disability now, and I can't live alone, essentially. I have to have people around me in case I go down. And being single and not having a partner messes that up and makes me angry. And then also it promotes me to latch onto somebody to make them take this journey with me, and they don't want to do that. So by having a family that coexists like a family, I don't have to latch onto a man prematurely, like to ride this out. We're going to ride this out. It's like we're writing out all the other health issues that's going on everybody. Everyone is just pitching in, taking care of everybody. We switch resources around. We're creating businesses. We hold each other down, and we go have fun. And life is a struggle, but the struggle is fun. And the kids are taken care of. And we even want our own episode called, I think we were going to name it, we named it A Murderer, CPS Worker, and the Italian Mafia. Like, that's how funny we think this is, that we're all from crazy backgrounds and we're just coexisting. So they're here. Well, two are here, and about two are missing. But the kids are here. So the kids don't govern themselves too well. But they do want to come on the show today. Hold on. Who's sleeping? Are you ready?
This is how we do it. It's pure spontaneity.
Fucking no,
love it.
Adults. We're live, though. Welcome.
Goodness. This is pure spontaneous gutter podcasting at its finest.
It's a chill day. Oh, goodness gracious.
All right. No problem.
It's a good Monday, actually. Hold on. So, okay. I'm getting in. But, yeah, what we're doing today is I've got paperwork stuff that has to be done, and I need help organizing all my health records and health stuff, So basically what we're going to do is work on my stuff today. And every day we just work on people's stuff. We have a to-do list and a book. Everyone's got their own to-do list. And then the house has a to-do list and the kids have a to-do list. And every day we just evaluate what resources we have and we knock it out.
Yeah.
We just get the adulting done. Whereas a single parent having to do that on their own with not resources and a lot of kids, or it's hot out here, or you're new to this area, it's going to be, like, hard for you to do that by yourself. It's, like, extremely hard. So, you know, that's, like, the mindset behind that.
Sounds pretty beautiful. Sounds like a system that was concocted and worked out well.
I'll put you on speakerphone.
Yes.
Huh?
Go for it.
Okay, hold on.
This
podcast.
All right. All right. This is Mental. Mental is from Mars Podcast. IG Mental Mars. If you want to know what I sound like and what I look like, check me out there. And here I am talking to the Sister Wives Club. What? Okay. I am here. Hello, everyone.
This is all like a new endeavor, so I don't think that everyone's used to the idea that the podcasting it's new to them, just as new as it was to me like 6 months ago. Like, no. I was like, this is weird. I don't understand how they're doing it.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, it's something that people get weirded out about.
Hold on 1 sec.
Okay.
So Ronnie's here. Say hi.
Hello, I know it's not exciting, it's totally weird, you being talking to a guy you never met before, you don't know what I'm saying or what I'm doing, what makes me so special, I get all that, been through that training.
No, we can't hear you.
You can't hear me now? Can you hear me? Or no?
Nope.
Oh gosh, nope. I don't know what I'm doing here, I don't know what's going on, testing 1, 2, I'm here, live and clear. I am here, so I don't know if you can hear me or not. Can you hear me?
Yeah, for us it just sounds very muted. Like, it's very low.
Oh, boy, well.
Too far away? That's better.
Is it better?
Better? Yes.
Okay. Is that good?
Yep.
All right. Welcome. So, one of the things I wanted to do, because I know you're surrounded by great people and I'm sure they have thoughts that I like to hear, random thoughts and things, and that I'm able to expand on or have a opinion about that hopefully is logical or makes sense. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of feedback you have, Ronnie. So if you feel free, hit me up.
Well, I mean, you have to, like, pose a question and we can expand on, because this is, like, I podcast with you, but nobody else does this but us, like, that we know of.
Okay,
it's
so.
It's weird for people. They're like, what am I doing?
So, Ronnie, so what is your current challenges when it comes to dating and meeting guys? What are some of the things that you run into, challenges?
Well, basically, my whole thing is, now that I'm back on, I guess, this dating thing, because I've been with the guy for, like, 10 years. But they just want to just jump into everything. And I'm just like, dude, chill out. I don't even know you. Like, no, I don't want to come spend the night at your house. I just want to talk to you over the phone for a while and get to know you through that, because I know how people are, and I don't want to just get wrapped up in other people's bullshit.
Right. Right.
But they just already just off the jump, like, hey, how you doing? Come over, come spend the night, Netflix and chill. And I'm like, hell no. And I'm 28 years old. I probably shouldn't be acting like that. I should be like, woohoo, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, no. I just want to get to know who you are and where your mindset is at.
Yeah. I mean,
but ain't nobody out here like that.
Well, it just seems like what happens is the guys just are out there throwing. It's a numbers game for guys when it comes to dating, you know, and they're gonna reach out to as many women as possible and see what sticks in that sense. And that approach that you're hearing is pretty typical of a guy that's objectifying a girl and trying to lure her into having sex. That's what it is. And without any deep talks, without any type of getting to know each other on a basic level, and nor type of any expectations being set in place. He's just like, hey, why don't you try to keep it nonchalant, hang out and get some drinks, and then whatever happens, happens, right? So I would say that's more the dating culture nowadays with guys, that they're more, I call them savages. And what I mean by that is that when they go online, a lot of men are on there with the premise of having sex, finding a partner to have sex with, the Netflix and chill, and repeat and repeat. And what happens is that they'll eventually find a guy, they'll find a girl that, okay, this one's interesting, I'm stick it out with her. So their mindset is more about tasting the different flavors that are out there and then seeing which one sticks and go from there.
Okay, see, that's what I don't understand, because we're grown. Like, you should have already experienced that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not going for anybody young. We're grown now. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you already experienced all of that stuff. And if that's the case, you need to let people know that, like, right away. Like, I'm just looking for this.
Yeah.
And then if the girl should have the right to say, oh, no, you know what? I'm not even like that. So we could just chill. We could just, like, not talk at all. And then they go, fuck you, bitch, like, go crazy. Mm-hmm. For no, like, it doesn't make any sense on why these men out here are basically just, they're not men.
Yeah.
They're not men. What happened?
Well, happened.
And why are these guys just, like,
yeah,
I hate to say it, bitch ass niggas, little lame ass niggas.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to tell you that for me, my opinion comes down to this. When people are acting the way they are, where it's a consistent pattern of behavior, they may not work for you, but that strategy that they're using works, because if it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it. So that's the sadness, that it's not because of you and the people you hang out with. There's other girls out there that fall for that line. They fall for those things. And that's why they keep with that same line and that same strategy, that same sales pitch. So do I think that obviously those guys are on the mindset, like I always tell Pineapples, is that they're just trying to have sex and then figure it out later. And that's what the guys that are coming at you that way, that's what they're doing. They're just trying to have sex. They're trying to fill you out, hang out. And then maybe after a couple of tries, and they'll figure it out. Okay, you're like a cool fuck buddy. I want to get to know you more. You know, I'm going to disconnect you. I'm going to bench you. Whatever it is that they, you know, but they're trying to get to the sex and then figure it out. And that's just the way the dating world is nowadays. Because I think it has to do a lot with the illusion that there's options out there. You know, like it just seems like, okay, I could just go on a dating app and boom, find three guys to hang out with, you know, this whole weekend. And I think that type of accessibility, it allows guys especially to just be more forthcoming about wanting sex, because the way they figured it, okay, you're turning them down, well, they're going to go back online and pick three more and do the same thing. And then it's like a numbers game. You know, they'll probably shoot 10 arrows and hopefully one sticks. And that's all they need, you know, for them to think it's a success. And then they just keep repeating it until they eventually find someone that catches their interest and keeps them steady. And I just think that's just how guys are. And that's my opinion on it. Because I just feel that they're...
Well, I'm going to need these people to get it together, and everybody, women, men, they need to get their lives together and stop acting up, stop playing games, because this is the time or the place to be fucking around with people's feelings.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think the one thing I will tell you is a little bit of what I do. Because, you know, I'm divorced and I have a daughter, 7 years old, and I'm very hands-on. You know, like I have my daughter anywhere from 2 to 5 days a week. You know, I 3 to 5 days a week, I have my daughter. Joint custody, I do everything. And one of the things that I
well, that's
do,
great.
Yeah, I'm hands on.
There's not too many men out here like that.
Right. You know, I don't feel I should get a golden star because that's just part of parenting. But you're right. It's a sad thing that a lot of men don't step up that way. But one of the things that I learned through this journey is that I make sure I take my time with people because I let it be known that, hey, I already been married. I already have a kid. Like, I'm not trying to rush back into that. Like, I got to make sure that I learn from my past. So I take my time in getting to know people. And just like Pineapples talked about, you know, how the process that she has now inviting guys over and then filling them out through the interaction. That's what I told her, but she took it to that level. But I feel that you need to just find someone that's like-minded. And, you know, through dialogue, when you connect with somebody on the same level, like, okay, this guy is more my level. And you can just tell these things as you get older. And that's kind of what I look for. I look for a certain level of maturity in the dialogue and in the talks. And then from there, that's the genesis for me to, all right, to dig more into the person, to dig more into their values, to see what it's all about, you know, how flexible they are, how, you know, their history. So I think the biggest thing I would say, because when you're dealing with the fuck boys out there just throwing you the Netflix and chill, it's hard. So you have to try to find those guys that are not into that from the beginning, because obviously when they're giving you that angle and they're saying, okay, Netflix and chill, they're just trying to fuck. You know, that's all they're trying to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And you just got to be patient. That's the key. You know, I don't know how much patience you have, but it's one of those deals that you have.
I have a lot of patience. I'll die without being with somebody else again if that's the case, because I'm not going through what I did go through.
Right.
And I'm definitely not falling for any of the bullshit that's going on now.
Right. So the only way you filter out the bullshit is taking your time. And that's the only thing, because I think what happens, what I've realized during my journey, is that people, they can only put on the show for so long. You know, like, they can only put that front for so long before you start seeing their jealousy ways, their controlling ways, their short-tempered ways, whatever it is that they're hiding. If you're patient enough and you hang out with them enough, and you start seeing those things come out. And that's when you can realize, oh, okay, this is a red flag. And, you know, in the past, we'd probably ignore a red flag, but now a red flag means a big deal to me now. You know, one of the things is in the past is if I don't have convo and they're just dismissing, trying to have a convo about something I enjoy, that's a red flag for me now, because that lets me know that this person is not a conversationalist and they don't want to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's very important to me. So that's something that before I would have been like, oh, that's fine. She'll come around. Now it's like I'm not even budging with that whatsoever, you know. So, I think for you, it's just more of you kind of having your goals and your expectations of what you would like a person to be, and then just find that similar mindset. You know, just find guys through dialogue and talking to see where they're at. You know, when you sit with a dude, you know what kind of level he's on. You know if he's mature, you know if he's trying to get his stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just know based on dialogue where a person stands or how open they are. And I think that's kind of the mastery of me, is that throughout time I'm able to figure things out. So that would be my advice to you. Just kind of take your time, find people that are like-minded, you know, and don't rush into it, you know. Because what happens is it seems like as soon as you start having sex with people, that's when their true colors come out. And then you start figuring out, okay, what's this dude's real intentions are? You know, after you fuck, okay, is he going to leave? Is he going to come back for more? Does he want to hang out? You know, so it's just being aware of that dynamic being in play with a guy, you know?
Right.
So...
Well, yeah, I'd rather just not be in the dating scene at all if that's going to happen. And I believe in Yah, so I believe he's just going to give me somebody when the time is right.
Right. So
that's what I think a lot of people should be doing. Like, stop messing around. Just do what you need to do. And one day somebody will be in your face like, hey, how you doing?
Right.
I'm yours.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of just fucking having emotion and being emotionally attached to somebody that you shouldn't be emotionally attached to.
Right.
Everybody out here getting diseases. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Having babies with people, nobody, they don't even like each other. You know, they're destroying our communities. We all are.
Right.
By dating and being in a dating scene, just not caring about other people's feelings. I think once you've been in a long relationship and everything that you've had to go through being in a relationship, I just think that we should just fall back and just do what we need to do to get ourselves right.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
Stay out of the dating game.
Yeah, the first thing before you jump into anything, in my opinion, you got to take some time for self-reflection to really look at what's happened in your prior relationship and understand the flaws of your personality. You really got to dig in there and look in the mirror and say, okay, what is it about me, you know, that causes this issue? And, you know, like, and I looked in the mirror. For me, I know for me, it was my self-defensive ways. I was always very argumentative. If I felt that someone was coming at me when it wasn't provoked, I could be very spiteful. If I'm provoked, but those are things that you learn, you know, after the fact, and you have to work on those things. I look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, I needed to work on those things and be better, and yeah, I did. So I think if you are getting out of a situation, the first thing you need to do is not date anybody else. Just kind of work on yourself. Work on what's happened to you. You know, kind of recalibrate back to who you were, to being a happy person, you know, being a fulfilled person. And I think from that point, and for me, it took me about a year to get there, to get to that point of, okay, this is who I am. Like, okay, I found myself again. But for people.
Right, because then if you don't do that and you just jump right into the dating, like, then you're a scorned person, always nagging on other people, like, oh, you're not doing this, or oh, I see you think you can do this, or whatever the case may
yeah.
be, and then you're just destroying another relationship.
Absolutely, and you're not being fully yourself.
Because you're so scorned on what happened in the past, and you can't trust anybody.
Right, you have to filter out and come to closure with your past. And be able to say, okay, going forward, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. And there's not many people that do that. And I think that's why you always have to cycle, and people have the same issues in the relationships, because people don't step back and take time for themselves, for the fear of being alone, wanting companionship, whatever it is. You know, the people are always in that mindset. So I could say for me, it was a great thing I did, and I'm in a good place, and I agree with you. It's about that journey in life. You know, you go through that journey in life, and then whatever God will place upon you, a great opportunity, a great person, you know, fate, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then you work from there. You know, it's like that's as simple as it gets. So, you know, I think you're in the right mindset. And as long as you don't let that world frustrate you, and be patient, then I think it'll be a matter of time, you know. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just crazy already out here, and then just people put themselves in the mix of something that they can't even see. They can't see the bad qualities or demonic possessions that people have over each other. And
well, the dating,
there's a lot going on, and if you don't know yourself or know life, period, to be able to discern on what's good and bad for you in your life, then what's the, like, you can't just be out here in this world like that.
Right. There's a lot
I would never live in California due to this. I really hope I would never have to, because living with people, I just feel like that's just a state full of demons.
Yeah. It's, you know, deception out there, it runs very high. Manipulation, games, smoke and mirrors. It's a very slippery slope when it comes to dating and meeting new people, because you don't know their agenda. You don't know what they're really about, and that's kind of where we get stuck, because we may like someone, but we don't really know who they are. And sometimes we don't make the time to, you know, truly vest, you know? So it's very interesting. But
it's so easy for people to lie.
Yeah. I agree. It is easy to lie. But the key is making sure that whatever they say, the actions have to match, because actions speak louder than words. So, you know, someone's talking a good game, but their actions are not consistent with those words, then you just know you're dealing with someone phony and you have to cut bait. You know, that's as simple as it gets, because, you know, people think they can get away with a silver tongue, and that's just not the case. You know, it just life, you have repercussions for such things. So, but yeah, everything's good, my dear, but I appreciate it. That's a good question. Do you have anything else you think about, or?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm back on.
We're
trying to do speaker, but we probably can't until we get an amplifier, because when you're on speaker, we can't hear you as a group. So she's been talking to you directly, and then I got back on the phone.
All right. Gotcha.
So I'll have to listen to the episode to hear what y'all talked about, because I couldn't listen to that in.
All right, no problem. We'll do that. Well, I mean, we're past the hour, so this is any
perfect.
Any closing points for you?
I guess, you know, we have a lot. I have a lot to contribute to talking about things. I know Easy said, what's up? She can't wait to get back on with you. She's traveling right now, and she's had some epiphanies, and we've all had epiphanies. So
Easy has
I think it's all for the better, though. And more people are, you know, coming around with their stories and their frustrations, and I don't know, just we'll see where we go.
I think it's good. The one thing that I've realized in this journey is that sharing these stories of frustrations, whether it's from life hardships, dating, etc., there is a community out there that has gone through those hardships, ups and downs, and it's good to share, because it becomes a support group. And I think when your friends and people that you love hear you and share these stories for them to hear, it creates an open dialogue for them and allows them to reach out to you and to discuss it and not to judge you. And I think that's something that this modem can do on a personal level if you're recording these journeys as you go along life, you know? So it just gives you a better understanding of who you are. You give friends around you a better understanding of what you're thinking and how you're feeling. And it just becomes a better scenario where you are able to talk and come down with a solution. So I'm glad that you just, you know, had your wagon on this ride here for a bit. You know, it's always a pleasure. And Easy is always welcome to come back, man. And you girls can do it. It's just always about time.
All right.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up on this beautiful summer day in Southwest Florida and in Hawaii. So, all right, my dear.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Until next time.
You can catch me in the cherry red 150. Ooh. Got the grizzly locked in the stizzy. Pop the glizzy going 60 down a one whizzy. Drunk pissy. Trying to cruise through the avenue while my people just popping bottles up in Sue's rendezvous. That spun the UE, lost the hubcap. It's back to the shack. Came back in a what's that? Straight from Paris. Ooh. Taking Debbie's baby cabbage. Debbie Gallus.
Nice.
Bird, cherry radish. Fish out the dealer. Yeah. Got the